everybody. Welcome to Old School, a podcast from the Old Davie School Historical Museum. I'm Kim, the Education Director here at ODS, and I have a few updates before we get started. Typically, this time of year, we start welcoming schools back for field trips, but with COVID-19, we are now offering an afternoon session for families to take a field trip together every Thursday from 3 to 5 p.m. Step back in time with interactive activities like washing laundry on a washboard and writing with a dip ink pen as you learn about what life was like for a pioneer child on the Everglades frontier 100 years ago. Pre-registration is required and can be purchased on our website at olddavieschool.org. Following CDC guidelines, masks are required, and we keep the groups small to allow for social distancing. We've also adapted our activities to best protect our visitors. It's only $7 a person, so pick your date, and we'll see you soon. And we still miss schools and teachers and students, and we have a virtual field trip opportunity that brings the time traveling to you. So if you or anyone you know may be interested in taking a digital trip to the Old Davie School, let me know. You can email me at education@olddavieschool.org for more information. So let's get to the good stuff. The best way to kick off the Old School Podcast's very first episode is telling the story of our old school. Education has always played an important role for the community in Davie, and as soon as families began arriving around 1910-1911, they found a place for their students to learn. Some of the first classes were held in the vegetable packing houses with overturned potato hampers and a plank of wood on top, just as their benches. This is also how they did town meetings and church on Sundays. School was also held in one room of the general store together, all the kids sharing one space and one teacher. And that was Mrs. Althea Jenny, a much-beloved teacher and principal here at the Davie School. She began teaching in these makeshift classrooms on the frontier in 1912, and she would go on to teach at the Davie School throughout her career until her retirement in 1946. The town knew that they needed more space for students, so a two-room wooden schoolhouse was built in 1914 on a five-acre plot of land donated by the Everglades Land and Sales Company. Everglades Land and Sales Company was R.P. Davie's company, where we get the town of Davie from. We'll talk about that on another podcast. The structure had screened windows and porches, and by November 1914, there were already 53 students, so it was a big bustling two rooms for the community here. Also during this time, it was difficult to assign teachers to the rural community, since there weren't many places for them to live. Most of the families out here lived on their farmland with their house, so it wasn't like there were many boarding houses or small suburban houses for them to rent or live in. They could stay at the one hotel in town, which was a two-story house that's actually still there on the corner of Griffin Road and 65th Avenue. But as the town grew, more families moved into town, and they knew they needed a more permanent school for the community. So by 1916, the town successfully petitioned the Broward County School Board for a new school, and a $12,000 contract under architect August Geiger was outlined in June 15, 1917, in the Fort Lauderdale Sentinel, which is today's Sun Sentinel, that it basically describes our building today. Like, if you needed the dimensions of the building, I could just go to this and tell it to you. The newspaper, it says that this new school building will be of reinforced concrete and the construction with stucco finish and will stand on a five-acre tract of land on the south bank of the canal just west of the business center, which was donated to the school by V.W. Helm, who was actually president of the Everglades Land and Sales Company at this time. The building will front north on the canal and will have a frontage of 71 feet by 43 feet deep. The lower floor will contain four classrooms, each 20 by 30 feet, a corridor 8 feet wide through the center of the building, and toilets, hallway, and stair in the rear. The second floor contains an auditorium 41 by 70 feet. And this is kind of where it does start to change from our building today, because it says that it is capable of seating about 500 people. It does not fit 500 people. This is before fire codes. Our maximum capacity for that room is 175, and that still makes for a very busy dance floor for all of our events that we have. It also describes a partition of folding doors in the auditorium upstairs. They're no longer there, but you can see the wooden archway in the room that marked the space. So, remember when I said it was difficult to place teachers at the Davies School because they didn't have a place to live? Well, by 1918, when the school prepared to open, A.J. Albertson was assigned as principal for the school. But without a place to live, he lived upstairs in the auditorium of the school, in that cordoned-off space with those accordion doors. The school board wasn't quite keen on it right away, according to minutes from a meeting in 1918, but by the next meeting, they figured it wasn't that bad of an idea. They approved of the arrangement because he paid rent and he took care of the building. So that worked out for all parties there. Also about that principal position, it was first offered to Althea Jenny. She had served as the principal in the early years of Davy in the one-room, then the two-room school building. The school board placed a condition. They based Mrs. Jenny's position on getting a teaching certification, and from what I found, she didn't get the certification at that time. But by 1921, she began serving as the principal on and off through her remaining years at the school. And she actually did go back to school in 1945, where she took summer courses at the University of Miami. And this was right before her retirement in 1946. So she's just a very busy lady. Kept herself busy, doing wonderful things here. The Davy School was dedicated on May 10th, 1918. And at the dedication ceremony, Charles Walsh, who was an early Orange Grove owner, he moved into the Davy 1914. He was a very active Davy resident in all of the community affairs. But he accepted the building on behalf of the town, saying that, and this is my favorite quote, "We accept and thank you for this splendid building, a building no matter how large and important this community may grow, will ever be at the center of its social action and the main cause of any progress we may make. The citizens of Davy will take pride in it, maintain it, and cherish it." And if that's not the most perfect quote to sum up the school today, I don't know what is. This is basically our mission statement, still 102 years later. It is still relevant to what we hope we can achieve today. The school opened in 1918 with 90 students. These students were made up of families farming in Davy, some permanent residents. Some were only here seasonally, and they would return to their homes in the north for part of the year as well. Others were children of men who were working on the drainage project, operating the dredges, building the canals, who brought their families with them. So the population was constantly changing here at that time. The population of the students at the school at the time were white, though the town itself was more diverse. Segregation at the school was followed at this time, and the nearest school for black children would have been the Dillard School in Fort Lauderdale. Because that would have been a hardship for the families in Davy, a school was organized by the black community in what is Potter Park today. This is definitely something that we're doing research on, and we hope we can expand on more in the future. We do know that by the 1950s, black students began attending Davy Elementary, and we want to know more about what that experience was like. And so if you know someone locally, please reach out to me. This is still a story that we are hoping we can tell here. The school went from the first through the eighth grade, and in 1918, there were only three teachers. That meant about 30 students in each room, with the grades sharing spaces together and no air conditioning. That's the hard part for me. How did they get a packed room of kids in this hot, sweaty space to pay attention? Amazing job, teachers. You did it. I don't know how you do it. But the school had been designed by August Geiger to stay cool, with big windows that let in light and air, and transoms above the door that allowed that air to flow into the hallway. It was built from poured concrete, which, besides for making it very sturdy, it could trap cooler air overnight to help stay a little cooler. There were also ventilation windows at the base of the school to let air flow underneath as well. You can see it in pictures, but those windows are no longer there today. The school was built a little higher than it appears today to help with the flooding and that airflow. The building didn't have electricity until 1923, but it was very high-tech for the time because it had indoor bathrooms. The students most likely did not have that at home, so you can imagine the luxury of coming to school and using the bathroom inside a building and not in a little wooden shack 100 yards from your house. so I'm just thankful for indoor plumbing. A cistern to the rear of the school caught rainwater to provide water for the plumbing that operated on a septic tank, so it was pretty, like I said, pretty high class stuff for the time. The keyhole entrance that you see today was a signature of the architect's Mediterranean style. He also designed a few other buildings that kind of have that similar feature, similar style to it. The Fort Lauderdale Women's Club downtown and the Dade County Courthouse, which is still there. Both buildings are still there on their original locations. As the school population grew, additional buildings were built to the west. There's the cafetorium, which serves as our office today. It provided a cafeteria for the school and also a large stage for school plays. A library was added to the east side and more classrooms to the north and front of the school. And at that point, the keyhole entrance was squared out and lost. The school continued to grow, adding four more classrooms upstairs in the auditorium and additional portables in the back. Kindergarten was eventually added, and the middle grades moved to the other junior high schools, ultimately leaving kindergarten through fifth grade at Davie Elementary. But by 1978, a new school building was built in downtown Davie, and the students moved there. Griffin Elementary used the site for 2 years as an annex for overcrowding, but by 1980, the space became school board offices. And then the future of the school was unknown. The county intended on building new offices for the school board in Fort Lauderdale, and there was consideration that the school would be torn down like many other historic buildings in South Florida. Thankfully, the local women's volunteer group, the Soroptimus International of Davie, recognized the need to protect the site and made it their project to restore and have the building placed on the National Register of Historic Places. The school board sold the site to the town of Davie for $1, and with fundraising and rallying efforts that went all the way to the Capitol in Tallahassee, the Davie School Foundation Incorporated was formed and successfully had the school listed in 1988. Restoration of the school began, and the newer buildings that were not in great shape were torn down, and the keyhole entrance returned to that facade of the school, so you do have it there today. The cubicles and orange carpet were removed, and beautiful original Dade County pine floors were revealed. The foundation began collecting the history of the town through photographs and artifacts donated from people throughout the community, and they developed a museum on the history of the town that has continued to grow and telling the broad and amazing story of Davie. Today, our school is a place for former students to return and remember their school days. It's a place for new students, young and old, to learn about the community around them, and it's a community center that hosts programs, art shows, weddings, recitals, graduations, baby showers, just about everything. It's a centerpiece to remind the ever-changing town of Davie of where it came from and who contributed during those years. So we hope to stand by Walsh's words from that dedication 102 years ago. And there are more stories in between all of those facts that we hope to share with you on this podcast. So stay tuned for more history and interviews coming up. You can schedule your tour of the old school and see this history up close. So until then, be safe, and we'll see you soon. Take care.